Welcome back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. These are the long weeks here where you look at it, you're a football fan, you're like, all right, got a couple, 3.5, 4 hours of football left here, Super Bowl, I'm going to get my chippy dippy, I'm going to do my halftime show, I'm going to do all that. And it's just the off season now, moving forward. But we do have the two best teams playing in the Super Bowl. It'll be the Philadelphia Eagles and the Kansas City Chiefs from Glendale, Arizona. This guy has sent me on many, many radio row missions at Super Bowls over the last 28 years. He's over Coons Baltimore Ford. I'm still trying to drag him to an NFL combine in Indianapolis. They did have one Super Bowl in Indianapolis, a pretty good one too, by the way, as I recall. Dennis Colazzo's joins us now. I am wearing the Coons Ford gear here this week, and you're gearing up for the Super Bowl matchup. That I would say this: the two best teams. Would you agree? The two best teams are in the game.
Yeah, I mean, they were the chalk picks. I certainly picked them to be there, and I'm very happy that these two teams are there. Great storylines. Andy Reid going up against his old organization. He never won a Super Bowl with the Eagles. And also you have the Kelce brothers angle, right? You have Travis and Jason Kelce. I think it's a delicious matchup, and I think they are the two best teams in football this year.
All right, well, this is where I took it with Luke, and you can find that out at Baltimore Positive as well. When you watch these teams play this weekend and you see what San Francisco, what that – when you don't have a quarterback at all, you're like that Broncos team 2 years ago during the plague, right?
Yeah.
And you're just out there slapping around, and that's pretty much where they were, pretty much where the Ravens might have been in Pittsburgh 8 weeks ago when I was up there with my press credential, where when you get down to the end and this is where you are, your punter, you know, Sam Cook's quarterback in here or whatever you're going to do at that point. But having that piece – and having that piece right, and it opens the door for the conversations that we're having every day, everywhere I go, Dennis. My wife and I went out, grabbed a bite to eat up in Bel Air very quietly. Somebody comes up at the bar. Hey, what's going to happen with Lamar? What's going on with Lamar? So, you know, no matter where I go out on my yoga mat, I mean, literally, I get off my yoga mat, I'm sweating. Guys like, hey, we're going to lose Lamar, aren't we? And it is the story, but it has to be the story. And I think the measurement of where Mahomes is right now, where Burrow wants to be, whether he's in Burrowhead or in the jungle, wherever he is, this measurement we have of these guys, I don't know if Lamar's there or if this offense is there or this team can be there no matter what they pay him. And I keep going back to the fact that if they gave him $200 million in the offseason, what do you play 2 weeks ago to get to this point where you can go win yourself a Super Bowl, and just how hard this is to do, how hard it is to go to the Super Bowl.
You know, it's funny when you look at different fan bases, and I really got away from, I get away from Lamar talk during games, games that the Ravens aren't in, because of course our fan base tries to make comparisons to Lamar Jackson, and they want to have that conversation if Lamar had receivers. As for me, I'm just watching the game. But what's funny is I saw after the Bengals' loss, there were Bengals fans who were actually blaming Joe Burrow for the loss. And they were talking in terms of, can we get two firsts for Joe Burrow? I'm thinking, you know what? Love him or hate him, he's a good quarterback. He's a young quarterback. He's got a great arm. I love his swagger, right? Maybe a little bit too much. But you even have Bengals fans thinking about moving away from Joe Burrow. So it just goes to show you the mindset of fan bases. It's similar regardless of what city they're in, Nestor.
Well, listen, I took phone calls on Monday mornings as purple therapy here, group therapy back in the day when there was no Twitter, right? So, I mean, I guess you would get the proverbial box of chocolates on all things your team based on knowledge, insight, screaming out loud. Places I go, and I'll, you know, we're only going to have a couple of weeks to debate this, you and I, because at some point somebody's going to poop, get off the pot here. We're going to move. We're going to trade. We're going to sign. There's going to be words exchange, you know, whatever's going to happen between now and, let's say, the combine and then the combine and the draft. You know, there's this period of poking the tire and the pre-tampering, and then the tampering, and then things happen with free agency and money, sure. And money gets locked up. They're always going to have $50 million sitting around waiting for Lamar against this cap, because until there's some sort of certainty one way or another as to who their quarterback will be. But as it relates to the offensive coordinator, And what that means when an offense coordinator comes in here and says, well, who's my quarterback? Who's my wide receivers? What do I have here? John, I know I'm going to have full reign to do whatever I want to do, but Eric, you're picking the ingredients. You're going to wise markets, and you're going to, you know, eat better and spend less, right? So, on the draft picks, right? And it is so complex what's going to happen here the next 7 or 8 weeks. But I'll say this. When I go out and I see a random $20 winner on my Maryland lottery gig that we had the other day, because we took the Maryland Crab Cake Tour out, had a $20 winner, man, screaming at me the other day over at State Fair. They all think, if I yelled out loud at State Fair, is Lamar staying or going? Everyone yells staying. So fans think somehow this is all posturing, and that that the money's real, and Steve has the money, and he's being, you know, whatever they're thinking, or if they're thinking anything at all. I mean, I don't know how much they really time they put into this, but you and I take on all the poison arrows, right, out on YouTube and out on the web, because we've examined this a little bit, and it to me, it feels like there's going to be a mutual parting of the ways. And I don't know where the sewing in for the fantasy world of they're going to make this work, how that happens. I'm trying to figure out where the compromise could be to keep Lamar Jackson here as we watch these other quarterbacks and say, we can't do that with Lamar. How are we going to do it with Derek Carr or Taylor Heineke or whomever?
Well, the funny thing is, Nestor, you talk highly of Andrew Brandt, and I've been following him ever since you put him on my radar. And he posted right after the Eagles win, high praise for Harry Roseman. He said, Harry Roseman, their Eagles GM, came up like him, a negotiator, a capologist, if you will, versus your traditional GM who was a scout. And I thought about Eric DaCosta, and I'm thinking, is Andrew taking pot shots at these GMs who came up as scouts versus the businessman model that Harry Roseman and himself have followed? And you can't blame, you got to give Harry Roseman all the credit in the world for what he's built there in Philadelphia in terms of personnel. Something that, you know what, Eric DaCosta just hasn't done, whether it's mishandling the Lamar Jackson situation, underestimating what Lamar Jackson was going to do. But I thought that was an interesting comment by Mr. Brandt.
Do you think it's been mishandled, Lamar?
I do.
Has he been mishandled?
I do. Yeah, I mean,
what would have been better handling?
I think in retrospect, in hindsight, had they given him more money to get him to ink his contract, probably right before Josh Allen signed his, or as Josh Allen was signing his, or the week after, they've had a couple of windows that could have went in, and perhaps before the Deshaun Watson contract anyway, they had a shot to get him under contract, put the ring on the finger, and they didn't do it because, you know what, they wanted to see more. And when you roll the dice like that, sometimes you win, sometimes you lose, and they've lost. Now, you can say that he hadn't had the weapons, and that remains to be seen whether he gets the weapons here in Baltimore or someplace else. However, they had a shot. They had the guy. And when you have the guy, and he's full of enthusiasm and rah, 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 and he hasn't been jaded yet by the by age and time and the NFL Players Association and his group of friends and advisors, they had a shot to sign him. They didn't do it, Ness.
Well, you know who hasn't had that problem is the kid playing 2 weeks from now, Patrick Mahomes, who's running around on one foot. He's getting taped up. Hasselbeck's getting taped up before the game to show you how to get taped up and what it would mean for a quarterback on a cold day to be running around, not be able to feel your right leg, right? Like, it was very, very obvious that it was like he was walking like John Elway on a good day, or maybe more like John Wayne in True Grit.
Well, a couple of years ago, didn't they give him like a $500 million contract? Now, of course, we know it wasn't all guaranteed, but they put the ring on Mahomes' finger very, very early on. And
they got the champagne, remember?
They got the champagne, right? And not only that, but he's also on a trajectory to be maybe the greatest quarterback of all time. I mean,
they gave him one of those jazz baths. You see that?
Yes. But my point is, they put the ring on the finger very early on Patrick Mahomes. You're a guy for your career. You will stay a Chief. You will retire a Chief. We're riding with you all the way. Much different message than the Baltimore Ravens have had with Lamar Jackson. Dramatically different tempo, beat, tone. You and I love music, so the music's been different in Baltimore than it has been in Kansas City.
Well, I mean, need a little cheek to cheek with Lamar Jackson. Dennis Colatzos is here. He's here from all things Baltimore, Coons Ford, and so on your lot right now. Give me a little like perspective, because you don't, as much as you sit here and talk sports, you don't talk as much about cars. I'm going to give you at least a chance here to interject that we got President's Day's coming up, right?
President's Day's coming up. The cars are the stars. I have about 250 brand new vehicles. They're coming in. That's I don't know what Ford is doing, but whatever they're doing, keep it up. We have more inventory than we've had pre-COVID. The deals are there. We're being supported by Ford Motor Company with financing terms. There's some 0 for 60 months, 3.9 for 72 out there. We got the best deals, the best trade-ins, the most volume out of anybody in the region. So want to thank you and WNST, all the sponsors, all the repeat referral business that we do. But we get a lot of traffic here, and we put a lot of happy people in vehicles.
And they all have little computer chips these days, right? Like
They do. They
they found those finally, right? It
they
took us a
found
little
them. They're
while.
making them. So business is very good at Coons Ford of Baltimore, and also our service department, parts department, body shop, all of our departments are booming.
Well, I'll tell you what, we'll be colliding on Thursday between 3 and 5. Dennis will be here driving you home, getting you ready for the Pro Bowl this weekend. Team Eli, Team Peyton in, and all that way. I've got Team John and Team Lou on the baseball side as we get ready. Pitchers and catchers right around the corner. It's crazy. I said to Luke this week, pitchers and catchers. I met my wife 20 years ago this week, right? So the 8th of February would be our 20th year meeting. And the reason I met her is the Super Bowl was over by the 8th, and I was on vacation. Like literally, right? So now it's like Valentine's Day and pitchers and catchers and the Super Bowl. It's all like within 48 hours of each other, and then it's boom, it's March Madness, right? So it's there's no terms here, but the Lamar story overshadowing all of this. But I again go back to what we're seeing on the field right now. This party that they're throwing up in Philadelphia right now, and how they've utilized players and where they are, and jettisoning Peterson, right? I mean, just out, right? He's down in Jacksonville 2 years now. So,
They've done a great job.
yeah, and to get back with it, other than Kelce and a handful of people, a completely different. My guy Jimmy Schwartz just took the Cleveland job, right? He's two jobs removed from that gig, and the Eagles just are churning on, and they're doing something different up there right now. In addition to the water they put in the pretzels, which we can
Look,
talk about if you want.
just like any business, Nestor, it's people and processes. When you add a Hassan Reddick, when you add an AJ Brown, and I've always said, give me the Jimmies and Joes. And that's one thing Harry Roseman has done very well, the general manager of the Philadelphia Eagles. He's got some really, really good Jimmies and Joes. Their talent level is off the hook, whether it's the offensive line or defensive line. I mean, they really don't have many weaknesses. This is a very complete team. They've been the best team in the NFL this year. And the Chiefs are going to have their hands full with this Eagles team 2 weeks from now.
Well, it's gonna be a good game. I'm looking forward to it, and I guess all the prospects that come on the backside of all of that for Lamar Jackson and for the franchise and for other decisions that they have to make, including this offensive coordinator. So, Dennis,
That's
Mr.
interesting.
Colatzos, let me interview you. I bring you into the office here and say, all right, Mr. Colatzos, you've done a nice job down there at State U in down the South, and had a great resume here, and let's see, you passed, let's see, you passed the Rooney Rule, you've run offenses, you've been there, you've been a head coach elsewhere, you've checked all the boxes. Now I ask you, do you have any questions for us here in Owings Mills, Mr. Colatzos? You want to take the job as our incoming offense coordinator? I mean, we are going to pay you $3.8 million a year. We're
Oh,
going to guarantee you
where do I
$3 million.
sign? Where do I sign?
Right.
It doesn't matter who the quarterback is. It's going to be Lamar Jackson or Taylor Heineke and a rookie a top 10 pick. So it doesn't really matter because the Ravens have a good offensive line. They have a good running game, great tight ends. Need some wide receivers, right? So I would look at I was going to say Phil Savage, but he's been gone for a long time. Mr. DaCosta and say, listen, Eric, I need some wide receivers, some real wide receivers. Do you see the game the other night where double coverage and T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase, they're coming down with these balls? Give me one of those guys. Give me an 80-20 guy, not a 50-50 guy. Give me a couple of those, and I'll be good to go. That's all I need.
That's all you need. Take the gig.
That's all I need. Yeah, because again, it's a high-paying job. It's one of 32. They're not going to have a hard time getting an offensive coordinator. The question is, can they get the right one that's going to take them to the next level?
Well, philosophically, that's a heck of a question as to what they're going to be, right? Because the offense coordinator is going to say, who's my quarterback?
Yeah, you know,
right? Like literally, deter, you want me to do what with whom?
That would deter maybe one of the top three guys that are available out there. But when you start getting lower in the depth chart, that's not going to deter somebody, especially if it's a first-time offensive coordinator. That's not going to deter them from taking the job. They just want the job because they're going to either have Lamar Jackson or a high draft pick, A or B. Either way, they'll be able to work with that quarterback. So to me, it's not that big of a deal. It just isn't.
I'm fascinated from that perspective that you just brought, which is where I was going with you interviewing you, which is who's my quarterback and which direction are we going to go? If we zig, we're going to zag. And if we do
Doesn't
this,
matter.
We're going to do that. That's an interesting roundtable back and forth to ping pong.
Sure.
If you're interviewing somebody to say, well, what if tie? Now, what if we get three number one draft picks? What do you think about the kid from
Correct.
Wherever,
Ohio State,
right?
Or Alabama or Kentucky? Yeah, there's a quarterback they're going to get very high. This kid Richardson, he's been mocked at the Ravens by Mel Kiper. I mean, I don't think they're going to wait that long to get a quarterback if they move away from Lamar Jackson. But my point is, your OC is going to have a veteran quarterback filling in until the rookie quarterback's ready to play. And he has enough of a running game, defense, special teams that it's complementary football that he'll be satisfied that the Ravens will play winning football from week one because all the pieces are there. And then you got to hope that you hit on the quarterback, right? On the rookie quarterback. If that's the case, then you know what? Maybe Lamar Jackson is your quarterback. You still need wide receivers either way.
Well, Dennis, for you to say Lamar's still my quarterback, you and I have been the two guys that have gone down this road of it feels to me like they both kind of want to kiss and quietly, the way they quietly dealt Hollywood Brown, let Eric go figure it out, bring it back, massage it up and say, these folks over here be happy to give you $210 million, you know, whatever. I don't know how it will be done without an agent. And when Lamar – Eric can only speak to Lamar. He can't speak to anybody else. I mean, Lamar's representing himself, right? So Eric can't speak out loud to anybody about any of this, right, in a binding contractual kind of way. So the notion that he's going to get peddled off to five different franchises and they're all going to make their best pitch, I don't know where that representative will be, but we're getting to the point for all of that. But for the fans and for when I go out and you and me look – we both have looked at this the exact same way, that we feel like there will be a parting of the ways. We've stamped our names on it, and we would have to backtrack dramatically if $218 million of guaranteed money later, there's a kumbaya on March 10th, mm-hmm. They have a deal and whatever. I would be really shocked by that on both sides to figure out where compromise could possibly be and where happiness would be and whether the Ravens would think they have the right guy or whether Lamar thinks he has the right situation. That would you be shocked if that happens here? Because I think shocked may be too far, but I'd be very, very surprised. I mean, very on the, I think it's probable. I think it's likely that he'll be elsewhere in my mind right now, but I don't know that the world sees it that way.
Yeah, I do too. And here's why, Nestor, because unlike 2022, when he played on the 1 year, $23 million deal, I don't see him playing on the 1 year, $45 million deal. I think if they tag him, he doesn't show up to training camp. I think he puts him behind the eight ball. And he is that guy. I can see him sitting out a year. If he sits out a year, what does that do for the Ravens? They're drafting at 22. Are they going to draft a quarterback at 22? I don't think so. So that's the problem. That's why I do think this thing gets resolved before the NFL draft. They have to know which direction they're going to go with or without Lamar Jackson. So I think it gets resolved sooner rather than later.
As we sit here, February 1st, I think they've already made up their mind, right?
I don't disagree with you there. Yeah, if he's of the mindset that, you know, if you tag me, I'm not going to show up, they're going to move away from him. They have to. They have no other choice. So although they control what the player can do, he also has a measure of control, an equal measure of control by not showing up. And they can't risk that. They can't risk tagging him, digging their heels in, and saying, you'll play for us or else, because he doesn't have to show up.
Well, if there was any modicum of doubt that he could have played against Cincinnati, there's no way they could sign him, right?
No, not at all. Yeah, if they determine he made a business decision, they're moving away. They've already moved away. They're not going to say it because they have to keep its market value high. They have to say all the right things to the media.
Well, that's where I land on it. And I have no inside information. If I did, I'd share that I did, right? I mean, I'm
and so does he.
Unlike some people out in the building, I have no integrity issues to tell you the truth, because that's what I do here, right? You know, I see the truth.
It's not you and I trying to chase Lamar Jackson out of Baltimore, right? People say, you know, you guys are trying to. No, of course not. We love Lamar Jackson. But, you know, from a business standpoint, you have to do business things. And both sides are, it's a business, right? So, you know, there's cause and a consequence and outcome.
Well, here's where I really get off on Mahomes and Burrow and Allen and these guys is that I'm wondering if Lamar is ever going to beat them or this team here could ever put together a team that can protect him enough, catch the ball enough, keep him clean, keep him healthy. I don't even know what the hell that means because he doesn't play clean. He doesn't play like he wants to be clean, right? Neither does Josh Allen, who seeks contact either, right? So, I would say that. But watching the San Francisco 49ers slap around with a running back trying to play, I mean, like,
yeah.
That's not where you want to be.
You need a quarterback.
And I would think John Harbaugh is kind of tired of having a quarterback running that's unavailable at this time of year. I would be stunned. I mean, I keep going back to like not wanting to say stunned. I would just be stunned if they're going to be the $200 million stalking horse in this whole thing, or we're going to tag him the way that we get to match the deal. No, no, no. Give me
no.
three. Give
yeah,
me three or
you
can't have him. And if he's not worth three, we'll give him $200 million and sign him off. You know, like,
I'm with you. I thought the given the non-exclusive tag where he can go and shop his services, and if they can't match, they get two first-round reps. I never thought that was ever on the table. And it shouldn't be on the table. Like you said, it's an exclusive tag, and it's a tag-and-trade scenario. Believe me, Eric DaCosta, he's open for business. He will listen to offers for Lamar Jackson, and he should.
And some other team's going to get very excited and give him the money that the Ravens
sure.
weren't willing to give him, right? Like, literally.
And he may blow up, and he may not. We don't know that. But it's a risky move for both sides, but there's always risk-reward with these type of things. But there's no way – I don't believe he shows up under the tag and plays for the Ravens on a one-year $45 million contract. I just don't see that happening.
I mean, we sat here for 6 months in the offseason last year saying, is he really going to play? And then in the end,
missed,
in Cincinnati, did he really play?
He missed OTAs, right? He missed OTAs. He wasn't there when the season began to be there with the men in the building lifting weights and going over game field, et cetera, and preparing for the season. He wasn't there. And I'm surprised he showed up. I'm very surprised he even played, because if we were his agent, we would advise him against so-and-so.
Or we would have had serious insurance put behind him, right?
Serious insurance. I'm sure he had insurance, but still.
A real analysis of where the market could go, top and bottom side, and saying, let's take as much as we can get here at whatever the sweetest time. I mean, how about negotiating if he had a real agent during the bye week when they're 8-3?
100%. 2 years in a row, that was the window. The bye week in 22 and the bye week in 21, he was absolutely on fire before those weeks. Those were the weeks that the Ravens should have went all in on him if they really wanted to. But guess what?
If they really wanted to. I think when this story is written and we look at that fibby fib fib press conference from last week, we'll look back and say, what would Purple Rain 3 really write if it could write itself? So, but time will tell. And Dennis, you and I, you know what we're going to look like? Remember old Johnny Carson when he had the whole
Carmack,
outfit?
Whatever it was, whatever
right.
it's called.
I can beat Tiny Tim dancing through the tulips, tiptoeing through the tulips, and do all that, right?
Caution is advised, put it to you that way.
It's sort of like when professional wrestling was on the Saturdays, remember?
Yeah.
Parental
yeah.
guidance is
advised.
Yeah, exactly.
And how about Kelsey doing the jabroni thing with the Cincinnati mayor? I thought that was great stuff. Great.
I didn't even bring that up with Luke and the wrestling thing and all of
that.
That
was wonderful. That was great.
So, great. Dennis, here's one for you. So I'm going to be doing, for the first time, 28 years, I've gone to Super Bowl Radio Row. I have my sort of greatest hits. And every year, I wind up with 5 to 10, you know, pretty big stars, Hall of Famers, people that you only get once in your life, like Joe Namath or Joe Montana or Dan Marino or Terry Bradshaw, you know, through the list of all of these Hall of Famers all of these years. But, and most of them I have unearthed edited and at least played once or twice during a greatest hits vacation week or whatever. I did a whole Hall of Fame thing a couple years ago when the plague happened, and I couldn't do Radio Row in Tampa a couple years ago, right? So I found some of this stuff, but I found all, I still have some editing to do. But in 2004, in Houston, Texas, Radio Row was in a convention center there, and they brought The Rock to me. And The Rock had done the show with me in 98 or 99. And it was 98. It was Raw is War. It was May of 98, where Jerry the King Lawler, Vince McMahon did the show. It was very – Owen Hart was still alive, did the show with us. Mark Henry was – so the guy that wore the sock, Mick Foley. All these stories. It was Raw is War, big storyline, live. We broadcast from underneath room 104, same room I met Stevie Wonder in with Edie Brown, and we broadcast, and The Rock was, you know, he was like an undercard guy then. He wasn't like a star yet. And he and Ray Lewis were friends because they played together, you know, the Miami connection,
sure.
Right?
Well, they did.
So there was all the football, Benny Thompson's in all my pictures, Spencer's in my pictures, Mike Frederick, some guys that were on those teams are in my pictures. So The Rock has done my show twice. First, in sort of character of a wrestling thing before the show. Tony Garea did the show that night. It was just Pat Patterson did my show that night.
From Auckland, New Zealand, Tony Garea.
Absolutely. Yeah, I made him show me the tattoo, the whole deal, right? So The Rock comes and does the show in Houston in 04. Now, at that Super Bowl, swear to God, I had Deion Sanders, Mike Ditka, Dante Pastorini, like all of these great, great guests. I have all the pictures. Yanni did my show. I asked him, go listen to it. It's a 5.5-minute piece with Yanni.
Yanni,
the Greek dissident. You know, Yanni.
All right. His last name is Chris Amalis, which translates into golden hair, by the way. That's why you know him as Yanni, because Chris Amalis is way too long. Just so you know. He's actually related to a good friend of mine from Highlandtown. Another story for another day.
He was a super nice guy. He really was.
Great guy.
And he may have said something about having relatives in Baltimore or something like that.
He does. He really does.
He was a super good guy. So Master P, Ice Cube did the show.
Nice.
You know, so another Rock and Roll Hall of Famer there, right? So that year I had all this chock full of it's all on these tapes that Ray Bachman made for me. I love you, Ray. And I have never unearthed the Rock one.
No.
So I'm pulling it out. Definitely, like, we got going in, and I gave him a hard time, and he called me a jabroni, and he offered to kick my ass, and, like, it was, Dennis, I'm going to find
stuff.
It, and you're going to love it, and he had a movie coming out, he was transitioning at that time, and I think he, you know, came out of character and talked about Ray, and talked about Baltimore,
gotcha.
And, you know, like, we had just won the Super Bowl a couple years
ago. He's a great guy, I love The Rock.
Yeah, so I'm finding things like that you would be like, if The Rock showed up next week, you'd think it's pretty cool, right?
Absolutely.
So if you've never heard it, if it's the first time you've heard it, it's like it's live or new, right?
Love to have The Rock come to my store. He would get everybody fired up for sure.
All right, man. We'll give you the people's eyebrows. We'd probably do as well as the people's elbow. Dennis Kalatsos is here. He loves wrestling. Hey, it's almost wrestling season, man. It is.
It really is.
Didn't they have a Winter Slam the other night or something like that?
They had the Royal Rumble the other night.
Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Great
stuff.
It probably sounds like when somebody doesn't know what they're talking about baseball.
Hey,
it's just like
the NFL, you know, with the referees. It's sports entertainment.
And on our next program on Thursday, we'll talk about officiating and gambling in the National Football League. You can find Dennis at D Colazzo Show, as well as Dennis Colazzo's out on the Twitter thing. And of course, has a homepage right on Baltimore Positive for the spirited chats that we tend to have once, twice a week. He'll be here on Thursday from 3 until 5, driving you home. The former Sunday sports voice, still on Sunday mornings, getting you ready for Super Bowl Sunday. The Chiefs and the Eagles, it's the Andy Reid Kelsey Bowl. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking. Baltimore Positive.